Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're listening to the Ooze. Your host, T.C. Dowdy, and with me on the air is Jeanette. And,
hi.
We might have Zach calling in here soon. So,
who's Zach?
What's up, Jeanette? How are
you? I haven't talked to him in a while.
I didn't know if you were going to make it or not.
Yeah.
Zach just popped
in,
and he was like, where's Bobo? And I was like, I don't know. He's like, you want me to call in and save you? I'm like, well, it's looking like you might have to. And then you roll in right as the credits are stopping. So, shit.
I was actually, it's funny because I was on talking to my husband about female primacy. He was like, you need to call into your show now.
Awesome.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Right on. So what's new? What's good?
Not much. It's been a busy hellish week. Yeah.
Right on. So nothing new. I'm trying to think if I've seen any new blogs this week.
One.
Back to my head here.
I did one.
You did
yeah.
one.
Yeah, I did one. Yeah, that's about it. And that's actually unusual for me because I normally knock a few out a week. I've been kind of slow inspiration-wise. I stole a quote from Coffin Puppet off of that thread, what do you think Satan looks like? I don't know if you saw that. I thought he was hilarious.
No, I didn't actually see it. I've been preoccupied the past couple of days, so been not so much my interest to be all up on the internet. So, mind giving the quote?
Yeah, it was. The guy asked, "What do you think Satan looks like?" So I like described myself, and then Coffin Puppet wrote, "Oh, sweet dear dead baby Jesus, FS thinks she's the devil again." And then he signed
that's
it CP 9.0 because I'm better than you. I couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So sounds like John Knight's still having fun up on Sin. That's good to hear. I know he's using dial-up, so I'm surprised as much as he is actually still able to interact. I thought dial-up was so archaic that you couldn't even really send email through it.
I didn't even know that dial-up still existed. I really didn't. I thought everybody was on, like, you know, broadband or something else at this point.
Right on. So, well, not a lot going on in my end. I'm actually finishing up a drawing. I started trying to push through the fucking paperwork this week to get this shit finished for me to hopefully get registered sometime in the near future into tattoo school, so... Aside from that, I put down, I think, two or three books by The Order of Nine Angles. I did Naos, or N-A-O-S, I think it's Naos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of what the other ones were, but that was the big one that I put down this week. It's 128 pages of ONA mythology, and, you know, it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I remember that was I found that first actually when I started Googling around for them, and I was like, okay, and I actually remember when I read it because, geez, this was even before I logged on to Sin, and I was like, this is and actually it was so cool because see like now this is kind of funny because I was like, this is the coolest thing I have ever read, hands down. I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever read, hands down. But I actually thought it was like a fictional series of some kind. So, yeah, I don't know why. It was just that I read it. I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, and I had no idea what it was. And then further Googling, I was like, oh, okay, well, you're kind of stupid. But, yeah.
Right on. Well, I was reading through it. It's a pretty good read. I mean, most of it, you can find it everywhere, all over the internet. So it's always interesting to me when I find like an original set of collections of texts.
Mm-hmm.
sometimes you find stuff that's, you know, seen elsewhere and you're not certain if it originated in that particular book or some of it, I don't know how to explain it. Some of it didn't quite thread together the way that I expected it would, but at the same point being that I have a little bit broader understanding outside of just what the text is in that particular book, I suppose that would be why it seemed that way.
Yeah. Well, and I definitely, you know, when I read it, I definitely got the context of, you know, like, that, and that was the thing that I thought to myself was like, well, that's kind of what I would assume that Satanism would actually sound like, which is actually why I was so like, oh, this is really cool, because I had already read up a little bit on Anton LaVey, and actually, it's kind of funny because I was completely disenchanted when I read, like, his stuff and found out that it was all symbolic and stuff, because my time with Wicca, actually, its origins were in the fact that I read this, like, really crappy, bad, I don't know, it was called The Black Cauldron, and I was, like, 13, and it was weird. I mean, like, I still can't find it, because I'd like to reread it now, but it was, like, you know, like, straight up from, you know, like, the medieval witchcraft trials, what witches were. And that's actually why I wound up getting into Wicca, was I read that book, and I was like, I'm a witch. That's what it is. So even when I was a Wiccan, I had this weird kind of devil-worshipy slant on the whole thing. So, yeah, that was why I was like, well, this is really cool. I was actually really disappointed when I started reading about the whole LaVeyan thing. I was like, well, I like it, and it makes sense, but there's a small part of me that was like, oh, man, you mean to tell me that, like, y'all aren't, like, actually doing, like, all that evil stuff? Because there's a part of me that finds that kind of cool in a way.
Right on. So, anyway, needless to say, I got to reading it, and I was thinking tonight about what the hell we were going to talk about. You know, and for a few minutes, I really just didn't have a clue. It's getting to be more and more difficult to have something different to say every single time I pop onto these things. But I thought what we might actually talk about was recognizing opportunity tonight. I mean, we talk about, you know, I personally talk about the Sly Man being somebody who has the ability to recognize an opportunity and act upon it in the right time. Well, that kind of thing is not something that just smacks you in the face like some cartoon version where the light bulb pops on over your head or something. It takes a sort of discipline in studying and understanding different people. So when you're discussing something with somebody, and you start to kind of get a feel for what things that they may or may not be willing to contribute to you. And then you kind of measure that up against what you're willing to offer to them. If you find yourself in an end where you're giving more than you're taking, then you've got yourself a problem. Your resources are being drained and you're not receiving enough. It has to at least be an equal trade-off, if not be minimal on your end of exertion of energy. I think, you know, it's difficult. I kind of picked up these skills through a fully different means outside of some kind of occult study or something like that. I picked these skills up managing a retail store and figuring out which employees would actually work and which ones were going to hide in the cardboard boxes when the time came. So that kind of gave a different perspective of opportunity to me. And you start to really look at people in terms of their ability to be productive. And by be productive, are they working for themselves? If they're working for themselves 9 times out of 10 with just a little bit of coaxing in one direction or the other, you can get them working for you as well. And I think it's kind of interesting in that aspect because, over this past week, well, since we did this last show, Jason King did a little video where he kind of picks apart the blog that we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
On this show.
I saw that. Yeah.
What's completely interesting to me is the level of insight that's being expressed by Chloe in terms of psychological tactics to actually using influencers. Something that at least as a manager in retail, Jason should have had a lot of appreciation for. So I'm kind of curious as to if it's more of a, I mean, there's something else going on is what I'm saying. I mean, just some of the arguments that he offered were absolutely silly. You know, I am the can of beer. Here's the thing. If he's saying that anybody that was not a part of the original guard of David Myatt's original creation of the ONA, anyone who has picked up the text, studied it, and looked at it is sycophant. That's the word that he wanted to use. Mm-hmm. And if somebody's putting into practice this thing and they're not a part of that original guard, they are a sycophant. And hang on, we've actually got a call coming in, so let me go ahead and pull them up. 213, you're on news. Area code 213, you're on news.
Hello.
Hello? Okay, please call back in. All right, and where was I? Anyways, his description is that basically that if they aren't part of this core group, this original group of thinkers, that all they are is sycophants after that. They're just followers, just sheep. But if he goes by that same exact definition, then he can't call himself a Satanist because he wasn't there when Anton LaVey had the magic circle and started the Church of Satan. So I'm a little confused.
That's what I thought actually when I saw it. Was I thought to myself, well, using that kind of logic, then actually nobody after, you know, Anton LaVey and Anton Long were done are actually Satanists. So that would mean that Satanism died, you know, whenever the original magical circle and, you know, ended. You know, I was like, that doesn't really, you know, make any sense. And, you know, and I really actually dug the book Postmodern Satanism. I was, when it came to the blog, the thing was that the main thing that I got from his video was the whole thing where he's talking about that she's telling you that she's intentionally manipulating you. And my main thing with that was that I think that anybody that puts anything, you know, to paper, so to speak, is manipulating an audience and that they are attempting to influence their thinking in some way. That's what it is.
Right.
It's very essence.
And what's really very ironic about the whole thing is the fact that Jason King's entire stock, at least what he's put on the table, and I'm not going to take away any deserved credit from King. King has done his thing, and he has a certain level of originality about him, which makes him a very unique contributor to today's standard. And again, we've got a call coming in, 731 area code. 731, you're on news.
Well, hi there. This is Jake.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Jake?
You guys are all a bunch of sycophants. Anybody that wasn't there when LaVey started is obviously shit. You know, that's the kind of crap that keeps us behind. You know, we've gotten to the point now where we either are the elite or you're mundane, you're crap. And unless the elite learn to use the mundane as the tools they are, you waste half of your manpower, you waste most of your discretionary income that comes to you, and all we do is look like a bunch of jerk-offs sitting around arguing with each other.
I agree with that entirely. I think that was kind of where I was going with the whole thing when I was talking about recognizing opportunity and how I didn't personally disagree with what was said in that blog.
That's true. I agree with you, Beast. You know, you and I have talked online about it. If a person is willing to give us $5, like you said, you know, do we throw it away? We we waste our opportunities in not realizing that just because we're Satanists, we can't take advantage of what's there. Being adversarial is great. I'm adversarial as hell, but I'm smart enough to be adversarial where it counts. You know,
right
to be
on,
adversarial,
man.
Just to be adversarial is no better than, you know, being a Christian is to be a Christian. Really, it's
mm-hmm.
one side of the coin. What you
right
have to do
on,
is be able to take that adversarial attitude and turn it into cold, hard cash. And you can only
mm-hmm.
do that if you use those resources.
Well, I wouldn't agree that you necessarily have to turn it into cold, hard cash. I would agree that it should become something tangible.
Right.
Okay, you know,
cash or something tangible, yeah. But, you know, we've gotten to the point where we see that there's nothing there but us, and that's wrong. You know, really,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if the world wanted to stomp us out, they could do it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We have to face that fact. So you don't work harder, you work smarter. And that's where we're not doing it. We're saying, well, these are mundanes. They can't do anything for us. Hell, they put money in your pocket.
Right on. Absolutely. And that's kind of the whole point of what I've been working on in my eminentmind.info website is the idea that you should be looking to take advantage of opportunities as they present themselves, that part of evolving yourself is learning how to completely master your environment. And I don't think this strays at all from what, if I can use the word lefty empath masters without Chuck going too hard,
right.
have been pushing since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, hello, female site.
Hey, how are you? Well,
I
was going to say, too, that I definitely think that one of the key ways to get things to change, especially if you want to change them, you know, like there's a lot of people who talk about, you know, how much they want to see, you know, the world in general change. If you want to change it, the main thing to do is honestly influence the herd and manipulate
That's
the
right.
herd to do what you want them to do. And it's not, you know, it doesn't sound nice or pretty, you know, when you say, I'm going to set out to manipulate this group of people. You know, at least on paper, it sounds bad, but actually people do it all the time, whether they realize they are or not.
It's much more sinister to use
mm-hmm.
the crowd against themselves than
mm-hmm.
to, you know, decide that we're going to, you know, tear down the system. You tear down the system, you go with it. Use that system
mm-hmm.
wisely. You know, there's a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of power to be gained, and it's all on the backs of other people.
Right on. I can't disagree with that at all. The problem that I have is when there's a bunch of people out there that aren't really using the system to do anything but spin. You know,
well,
just to sit
you
in
know,
the same place
but,
and idly spin.
You know, they're just spending things. Yeah, great. But that's opportunities for us. You know, it's if I was going to be in power in the world, I wouldn't want to be the president. I would want to be the head. I would want to be the chairman of the board of General Motors. Yeah, the real power
right
isn't in the hands of the politicians. The real power is in the hands of those who have commodities that have to be sold and are needed. If you put yourself in a position where you can give the masses what they need, they're going to give you back anything you need to get it. They're going to give you their freedom. They're going to give you their loyalty. They're going to give you their love. But all you have to do is find the thing that you can provide for them that they can't get elsewhere.
Actually, I wish that I could remember exactly what Jason Sorrell said this past Sunday, but he said something very similar, I guess in a similar vein of talking, but damn if I can't remember now.
Anyway,
I don't want to
manipulate,
show.
I don't want to use up your time or anything, so, you know.
No, thanks for the call in. I appreciate
no, you're
the,
fine, yeah.
No problem, and, Go get some Borax and enjoy yourself.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Right on, man.
Bye.
Have a good night, bud.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. Totally unexpected.
Yeah.
I think I actually, I was thrown for a loop.
I he is quite an enchanting man. I met him in real life, and he is, he knows his shit. He really does. I mean, we sat and talked for a few hours just about Satanism, and he's pretty awesome. Yeah, he's one of my favorites. He always will be.
All right, I like Jake myself a lot too. I guess you have to understand that I didn't realize he even bothered listening to the show. So
I didn't either. That's why I was like, wait a minute, he listens to the show? Oh, what?
Right,
I had the same moment. Yeah.
But what he's talking about is exactly what I'm getting to, and that's looking for those opportunities. And
mm-hmm.
even though his aims may be to, you know, use this current system to gain those opportunities, there are of course many other methods to, gaining those opportunities. For some, the only way that they can get the kind of opportunity that they want is if they do tear down the current system. For
mm-hmm.
others, they want to, and this is one of the things that I dig about Jason Sorrell. Jason Sorrell would be happier just to push the authorities that he doesn't want messing in his life far enough out of his immediate
mm-hmm.
circle that, he's not necessarily affected as much by them. And, of course, the idea being that the juice of the berry is worth the squeeze.
Yeah, well, I actually have the same feelings about Jason does, which is that I don't think I can, If you look at it as a whole, I think the problem's too big. I really do. But I can do it for myself as much as possible and my family as much as possible, which has become basically my kind of focus at this point.
The way that I see it, and this is just my opinion, if you are doing things the way that you want to be doing them,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter ultimately how reasonable or sound your logic is. One thing that I have learned about logic or reasoning is that it can be argued from every different direction with equal
yeah.
vigor and passion. So
yeah.
at
and
the end of the day, all that matters is how you sleep at night.
Well, yeah, well, it's kind of like I got into it on a thread with MF, and I mean, I also got a death, and he made really good points, but the thing that I couldn't explain to him or put into words about it, because we were arguing about me selling my house and other things, was that I was like, and I just wanted to type it out, but it was like, I know I'm right. And that's like, and that's not very logical. Do you see what I'm saying? That doesn't have a bunch of points that I can point out, but it's just that I know I'm right. That's like, that's kind of the sum of it. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, I was like, no, I know I'm right. I know it. And there's no, I can't sit and explain it to you logically. It just, I know I did the right thing.
Right. Well, I don't think that you have to justify beyond a certain means. I mean, if it's
mm-hmm.
not somebody that's affected by your choice immediately,
yeah,
then fuck them. It doesn't matter who it
is, yeah.
and how
and,
much respect
yeah,
they hold
yeah,
of
and
yours.
That pretty much was the conclusion I came to. It was like, I'm not going to keep trying to explain this, because it's just, it boiled down to that simple, intuitive thing at the end of the day. Even though I was scared, and actually in an odd way. And the other thing that I really is really hard to explain is that emotionally for me, and it's like I told you last week, I was miserable, and I'm happier now. And that is, just as important as anything else is, in a really, kind of defining way that's unexplainable, too. I was, it's hard to explain.
Yeah. I've said it many times, and I'll say it again here tonight. What's important is that you live deliberately. That you live
mm-hmm.
according to your own will, and each person will have a different measure of
mm-hmm.
What they will. So, yeah. I mean, for me, you know, for me, Lehigh posed the question tonight to me, you know, how the hell do I get by? Well, and the obvious answer for me is I beg, borrow, rob, steal, kill, extort, burglarize, whatever I have to do. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's all about keeping me above, you know, that crash line and fuck everybody else.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. I'm definitely the same way, and I do agree, you know. That's definitely, you know, when it comes down to, you know, and, you know, like everybody's been in a desperate situation before, so, I mean, most people know what that's like. I mean, I've certainly had, you know, my school of those in the past. So, yeah, no, I've always been the same way.
But let's get back to talking more about opportunity, because there are most certainly ways to recognize an opportunity. And then the first thing mm-hmm. that comes to is you're testing the waters, just like little kids do. You know, the one thing I love about my son is he thinks he's smarter than me, and it just tickles me pink when he tries to get away with something when he can't. But it's the same thing. I mean, we should have that same process as adults. We should be trying to get away with something and testing mm-hmm. our limits.
Yeah. That's the funny thing is that, at least, like, you know, I mean, when it comes to kids versus adults, is that kids are a lot less scared to get caught than adults are. Like, adults are really, really terrified of what happens if they get caught doing something that's, you know, quote unquote bad, which is kind of ridiculous because, like, kids, you know, like, my son did this today, and this is just, like, this is an example of, you know, kid logic and really how people should be, is that he got cookies out of the fridge, right? Well, he's in the process of eating what is clearly his second one, like he's two-fisted. And I walk in the kitchen, and I'm like, and I look at him. So what does he start doing? Does he drop the cookies? Does he cry? No. He starts eating them as fast as he can to see if he could, to eat as much as he can before I actually get to him because he knows he's in trouble.
That's exactly what he should be doing. I mean, that's the one thing I never figured out. Okay, you see these guys, or you hear these stories about these guys who have, you know, they've gone the full round of doing whatever. They've, you know, robbed a bank or whatever it is. And more times than not, when they leave, they are in such a frantic hurry to get away and not get caught, even though, you know, more than likely you're going to get caught, that they don't even, you know, make sure to take a bag of money without one of those little pink packets in it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is just obviously a superficial example of, but what it is that they're so worried about getting through without the consequence of it that they're not actually making sure to take the benefit along with it. Because fuck it, I mean,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to go to jail, you might as well at least have the opportunity to stash $1 million somewhere that you can, you know, later send whoever you're, you know, whatever, if you're a guy and you got some ghetto princess that will do whatever for you, you send her to the locker and, you know, get the money to fucking go get. Looks like we got another call tonight. 520, you're on the news. There you were, hang on. 520.
Pretty.
Hello.
Pretty.
520.
Bunch of fucking Satanists.
Okay, that sounded like intelligent discourse. Now, did you have something meaningful to say, or you just decided to call in and be a jackass?
I said what's important to me. And if you didn't hear it the first time, let me repeat it. Pretty. But pretty. Female fame's hot. Pretty.
Okay, well, thank you for enlightening us with that deep line of reasoning.
Have a good night, gentlemen.
Wow. Wow.
I was missing the troll, so it's kind of nice to have one come back on again.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, yeah, Jesus. That boy right there, I guarantee you, that's pure sucker. Pure sucker. What did I say? That was 520. If you're in the 520 area code and you recognize that voice, feel free to fucking rob him for every penny he's got. Probably just give it.
Yeah,
to
that's okay. Oh.
All right. Yeah. What the hell? Good call tonight. Bad call tonight. We still have this 213 hanging on here. That's just an amazing name.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try this 213 again, and if they don't answer, I'm just hanging up. 213, you're on news. You want three?
Yeah. I'm just listening to the show. That's all I'm doing.
Oh, all right. I'll put you on
hold.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You certainly can.
Yeah. How do you pray to Satan? I mean, do you get on your knees or what? I mean, because I'm kind of new and I don't really know what to do. Because I'm like a baby. So how do you pray to Satan? Like, what words do you say? Because I just say anything, and my prayers come true.
Well, for myself, and I can only speak to myself, it's as simple as just talking to myself, because that's how Satan's manifested in my mind. I am the Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's a little bit different than if you were wanting to pray to an external deity. And if that's your bag, man, I can't really give you any kind of good advice on that. I didn't actually myself decide to subscribe to an external deity. I just assume that these types of ideas are developed inside of oneself as a way to exoterically kind of balance off the esoteric nature of our being. So that would be what I would say. If you're honestly interested, though, there is I'm trying to think of who an actual decent theistic Satanist is. You might look into anybody out here in the chat room, because, I mean, well, we'll try actually this next caller. He might actually know. 619, you're on news.
Hey, guys, how you doing? How you doing?
Hello.
Good. Hey, is the guy asking about how to pray to Satan still on the air?
Yeah, I'm still here, actually.
Okay, cool. I know this question. I can do this, guys. First, you get down on your right knee. You put your head down, and you hold, like, the heavy metal hands up, and you go,
you know, I don't know what that was about. But can I say something?
That's actually just his sense of humor. No, you know what? I'll tell you what. There's only one person that I could honestly refer you to and have a good, solid conscience about it, and that would be Diane Vera. She would be probably the only theistic Satanist that holds my respect. So she would be the person to take a look at. So grab
there's
a pen and paper.
Named Hellplays 666. Now, he hasn't published much, but his stuff is actually really good. He's solid. I mean, like, you know, he definitely knows his stuff.
Yeah, well, okay, maybe him, but I would say look up Diane Vera. That would be who I would recommend you to.
Okay.
Diane Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got that on the paper. But you know, the weird thing is when I used to be a Christian, my prayers never got answered. But ever since I started, like, you know, speaking of Satan, everything happens so fast and everything just come, like, right away. You know, it's kind of, you know, strange to me.
Let me just challenge your mind a little bit here before we let you off the air or whatever. But do you know the story of Satan?
The only thing I know is that, you know, he was cast out of, you know, heaven to earth, and he became the god of, you know, the world. You know, that's basically, you know, the first part I know about him.
Okay. I'm going to tell you a story, and it's more of a romanticized version than the actual factual mythology of it, but it's one that has good merit to it. During the whole days of creation or whatever, God makes his angels, and then he begins on a journey, you know, that divides the water from the sky, makes the land, you know, the whole 7 days thing, whatever. And he comes to making man, and he says, you know, aside from myself, man is the greatest creature in the universe. So all of my angels will, you know, they will bow to man. They will serve man. And Satan, who was supposedly his first, foremost, brightest, best, right-hand man, he was a little offended by the fact that something as imperfectly made as human beings would be forcing him into servitude under them. And then he got to thinking about the fact that everything that he does is servitude to and for the throne, this God, right? So he says, you know what? No, fuck you. I'm not going to serve man. I'm not going to bow man. And beyond that, I'm not going to bow to any God ever again. I am myself a God. And so, again, this is a romanticized version of the original story, but the point of it is, if you really truly wish to honor Satan, and Satan is a real entity, I think the way that you can do that is by honoring yourself and serving no other God. I don't believe, coming from the place that Satan did, if Satan really truly exists, that he wishes you to pray to him. I highly doubt that. He wouldn't expect somebody to fall into the very same servitude that he himself rejected. So
I certainly agree. I think that if Satan was real, he would want people to emulate him, not worship him. And that would be a pretty big distinction there. Yeah.
You see, that's good that I asked a question because, see, I'm a baby. I don't know. So that's good that I asked a question. Thanks.
Right. Well, so there's my 2 cents for the night. I appreciate you speaking up. If you want, I'll just place you back on hold, and we'll go about our merry ranting.
Okay, cool.
All right, thanks. All right, we're batting 2 for 3 tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, that reminded me of that thread. There was a thread way back, the gift basket thread with Lamont. When we were going over that, and Jason Sorrell popped in and said that he thought that if Satan appeared in front of him and said that you should bow down and worship him, he said he thought that it would be a test because that would be a hypocritical move for Satan to make.
Right, right. I mean, not that being hypocritical doesn't happen by the nature of things anyway in the universe. I mean, things always betray themselves at one point or another. But I mean, to stay more consistent with the idea of it, most certainly it would be a period of reckoning or, you know, it would be defiance of all that would choose to rule over you, at least as far as from my take goes. And that's why, I guess one of the reasons why I don't even bother with the theism, atheism equation and Satanism, because to me, I can very well in my mind represent the very same characteristics that are described anamorphically, if I said that correctly, through the fictional or representation of Satan, Lucifer. And I can see these as just being natural things that happen throughout the universe. So it's just not a a question in my mind as to whether it's real or not. It's real. The question that they're arguing over is what shape it takes. And without some special magnifying glass or some laser telescope or some, you know, three-dimensional or quasi-dimensional projector device, there's no way to really see what form is taken outside of how it manifests here in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm when it comes to the atheism theism debate, at least for me, it became mentally resolved on the level of basically that one way or another, it really doesn't matter one way or another. I went through everything mentally like that. Like, what if reincarnation exists? Like, for example, but that really won't matter because it won't affect you till the next life anyways. It was like stuff like that. And that was kind of the same, and that was kind of the conclusion I came to, was that I just don't see that a force or an entity or whatever you want to call it would want you to worship it at all. It would be just sort of there.
You could take it down to a human level and just keep it consistent with the children and adult thing. If you have a young child, and I don't necessarily mean that they have to be preteen, but maybe early teens or late teens, and you're a matured adult, and they worship you and follow you around and hang on your every word and try to do things exactly as you've said that they should be done, I would think that would be rather annoying. I mean, at least for me, it would be completely annoying. You know, I wouldn't have a level of pity, but it wouldn't be the good kind of pity. It would be the disgust in the pit of your stomach kind of pity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you do have really small children, you will recognize, and at least I do when I watch my kids, is that there are definitely parenthood can be characteristic of Godhood in a way, and that my children do imitate me, and they look at me for an explanation for how things work, why they work, what's right and wrong. You know, like, there's an entire thing there that, like, you know, I didn't realize it, but the more I look at them, the more I think to myself, it's like, yeah, no, I mean, like, there's other influences at work, but at the end of the day, the parents are almost always the main influence. And I mean, like, it's little stuff. Like, my 9-year-old said to somebody the other day, to his sister, I'm not going to take your shit anymore. Well, that comes directly from me, you know, and it's stuff like that where I'm like, oh, no, you know, like, they emulate me in this odd way while also being their own people entirely, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing about it is that every person that you interact with from the moment that you're conscious of yourself on, it leaves a little bit of an impression with you. You will pick up something from each and every person. Now, whether it is something that you emulate or something that you do in spite of, you develop by those influences. And so ultimately, even though, again, like you're saying, the physical parents may be the biggest influences at that point in time, as time goes on, that influence is less and less and less. I mean, I can remember by the time I was, I don't know, 10, 11 years old, I was influenced majorly, more so by my own peers and people that I respected on an intellectual level than I was influenced anymore at home by my mother. And so we then began to clash. That's something I think that almost every teenager kind of goes through, even is that clash with their parents, that defiance and separation of individual characteristics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always kind of viewed, like, especially my teenage years, or just like teenagers in general, it is like, you know, and it almost gets down to stupid levels of rebellion at times. But, you know, when it comes to kind of that idea of rebellion, Like, I was definitely better at rebelling at about 13, 14, 15 than, you know, I have ever been since. Because it was just everything had to be, you know, it was like anything you presented to me, especially if you were, you know, an adult, it was an instant no. I remember my mom took me to, I had a military ball. I was in JROTC, and we were looking for a dress. And I was like, I was freaking out because I couldn't find anything. And my mom literally walked into Walmart. Now, I was already, like, mad that, like, I was going to get a Walmart dress for it. Like, I mean, I was really, like, mad about that. That was, like, my big thing about it. Just like a lot of girls were bringing dresses and stuff. But anyways, she walked right up to a rack, grabbed a dress, and said, here you go. And I said, absolutely not. And this turned into a two-hour ordeal of me basically trying on every other dress but her dress. And then I finally, like, because she's finally like, just put the dress on, I'm right. And I was like, but I hate the color red, and absolutely not. And I put the dress on, and I remember it because I was like, I punched the wall in the dressing room over it because it was literally the perfect dress. And she was absolutely right. But she, in my head, she absolutely could not be right under any possible circumstance.
Right. Well, that's the nice angst of teen years. We've actually got Zach back on the line, so I'm going to pull him up. Zach, what's going on, man?
Am I on the air?
Hello.
You're here.
Hello. Will you tell that woman to fucking stop talking already? Jesus fucking Christ. What are you guys looking at?
What
is this? They're talking about a bunch of Santa Claus worship. You guys worship Santa Claus. Is that it? What are you looking at? You know what? You guys are a bunch of fucking assholes. You know? You think you're good. You're not good. You just know how to hide. How to lie. What are you laughing at, woman? You think you're good. You're good for one thing, making babies.
You're killing me, man. You're into the Scarface thing this week, huh? Fucker,
oh,
dropped off. Fucker dropped off again. Must be he's drunk and prank calling me. He's gotta love that.
He's drunk and prank calling, and apparently he's Scarface today.
Yes, he is. So, shit, we got about 10, 11 minutes left. Tonight's still open discussion. If anybody has anything they want to talk about, they got the next 5 minutes to call in, 347-989-1371. As you can see, we let everything from double praying questions to prank calls to, you know, more serious inquiries or matters of opinion. It's all good here, open discussion on Praxis Edition.
Do you want to go more in depth with the topics that you wanted to do tonight, next week, or?
With recognizing opportunities,
we
certainly could if I can get my head together enough to just put together a couple of really good examples of opportunities sought and lost. So.
Yeah. I was thinking I could do the same. I may even I've been rather lackadaisical over at the Ooze blog. I might post something there beforehand.
Right. Well, that might not be a bad idea. So, yeah, next week we can get more into recognizing opportunity. Maybe we can put together a couple scenarios where you either succeeded or failed to take advantage of an opportunity as it presented itself. And we can kind of talk about some of the body language and psychological
situations
that you can...
My working history definitely can flesh out that topic rather well. You know, I've done, you know, service, you know, I've been a waitress and I've worked at a gas station, and, you know, that all does entail reading people, but actually the, you know, when I was a stripper, that really is more about that than dancing for sure.
Right on. Well, we'll tap on that next week then. I'm trying to think of any specific things are more focused, because I think that we could get further into saying that opportunity is always available. There is always something that can be had, something that can be done. There's always something you can do to put yourself in just a little bit better of a situation. I mean, it's a daily thing. Growing up, my ex-stepfather used to say this little thing all the time that cracked me up, but it's something that I've ultimately kind of wrapped my mind around what he meant by it. What he used to say was, if it's free, it's for me.
Mm-hmm.
So he would walk by on the way out from a restaurant after he's paid and tipped and all that stuff, and they had the little bowl of mints sitting there, and he would take a handful of those mints, and
mm-hmm.
he would say, if it's free, it's for me. He'd take
yep.
a toothpick, he'd take the menu, he'd take some of the paper towels. If it's free, it's for me. And I mean, this is just on one level of what he really meant by this.
There's you know, opportunities, you know, to make money or pretty much anything all around you, especially if you look at it through the right angle, you know. I mean, like, it's kind of like you have to alter your perspective of reality to sort of start picking up on kind of that little, those little pieces of gold that show up in your daily life.
Right on. And here's something even more interesting. Maybe next week I'll reveal how I snagged the brownies out of Jake's house without him recognizing. So, Jake, if you're looking for brownies, man, I'm sorry. I grabbed them last night while you were sleeping. Well, actually, it was more like this morning, but yeah, last night for you. But, I'm really trying to think here. I think we pretty much hit the topic hard, so I'm good with that. I'm happy stopping where we're at. Trying to think. I guess I could throw out my normal plug, satanicinternationalnetwork.com, imminentmind.info, orderofnineangels.net. Click all the links on the bottom of eminentmind.info. Click all the links actually on every website that I've named, and that'll take you to everybody that I want to recommend. So, click their
Mine's
links, goddammit.
Female-Satan.blogspot.com.
Oh, shit, I forgot creativeoddity.studios.com. That would have been bad. I've been plugging Jason for about 5 years now. Two and a half on the ooze, and off and on about another two and a half on Twisted Radio. So.
Mm-hmm. He's a rather brilliant mind out there in the LHP. He's definitely really insightful.
That comes because he knows how to recognize opportunity. I think
mm-hmm.
I will. Now I had the perfect story to start off next week on. I'll talk about when I first met Jason Sorrell. That's exactly what he was doing, was taking advantage of opportunity. So, all right, I don't see any reason to drag the show on if nobody else is calling in or whatever. So we can go ahead and kill it a couple minutes early if you'd like.
Yeah, we can if you want, or I don't care.
Yeah. Well, again, like I said, I'm out of shit to say. Unless you got something, it's time to go.
Yeah, I'm out too, so.
All right. Then I guess the only thing left to do is to encourage everybody to check out Friday night's Occupy Ooze Edition. That's on, is it 10 p.m. or 9 p.m. Eastern Standard?
It's at 9. Eastern it's 10, Central it's 9.
Okay, so 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my favorite people come together, and hopefully they all did their homework so that they can actually join in this conversation. Because what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Sean, but you guys are going to be talking about different forms of currency. So, I could ask you, too. That's what this week's topic is, right?
I'm not sure, actually. We tried to do that last week, and it sort of derailed into, I don't know how to explain it, like sort of anti-government rants. But we were going to re-tackle it at a later date. I didn't know if you wanted to do it next week or after that.
Well, that's, let me see. Said that last week, don't know about this week. I would suggest continuing that. I'm going to try to free up some time this Friday evening to call in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to recommend that Jason does it too, because we've got a couple of different ideas of currency. I don't know if Jason Sorrell called in this last Friday or not to talk about it, but one of the things he often recommends is instead of using money, start trading in wheat. So...
I like that. Definitely. If he wants to do that, I'll poke around the internet and crap to have some. I kind of got into the barter system last week, but I didn't get really detailed into it.
Right on. All right. Anyway, that's it. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. Have a good night.
All right.